down low, centering. Tavares scores! They were not wasting time. They were getting some chances, and John Tavares finishes it off.
Jones moves into the high slot, shoots the puck and scores, and that changed direction right out in front of Pickard. And Dylan Strome will get credit for the goal, and that's his hat trick tally. It's now Chicago 5 and the Red Wings 3.
15 seconds to go in the power play. McCarr, he scores! All hail Kale!
Here's Gaudreau. The backhand centering pass, Tkachuk scores! The dynamic duo of Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk connects again. Gaudreau finds Tkachuk for his team-leading 20th, and it is 6-0 Flames.
TSN 1200.
Hola! Huh? For a Canada-Honduras big soccer match tonight, how about me kicking off with a little hola, Simmer?
Oh, that's awesome.
That's all I got.
I don't know.
Duo cerveza, por favor.
Oh, nice. Yeah, let's pass me a beer. Where was the heated field a few years ago that was like 1,000 degrees that they ended up playing? Remember?
We're talking soccer?
Yeah, remember they decided to play the game and, it was like, I thought it was like 35 Celsius or 40 Celsius. And
they heated the field too?
No. The field was so hot
that
it was like the turf was rising up. And we just got waxed in that game as well. I thought it was Honduras.
Ah, that's the past. We're not here to talk about the past, right? To quote Rafael Palmeiro.
Yeah.
Oh, bringing a baseball reference in here too. All right, 8:14. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Welcome to it. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Some highlights from around the National Hockey League last night. A Leafs shootout win. The Flames, 62 shots on goal against Columbus, and probably the marquee game of the night last night. Avs score late to tie. Win it in overtime. Cale Makar scores, and Nathan MacKinnon took a nasty hit, and his own stick knocks him out of the game. Lots of stuff to get to with our next guest. He is Mike Johnson, our TSN Hockey Insider. As always, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. And Mike, I'm noting, I know you've been in town all week, going to do the game tonight. Ottawa has just lifted the extreme cold warning that's been in place the last 24 hours. If a guy were ever want to strap on the blades, do the canal, and then head out to do the game tonight, now's your time, my friend. I'm just saying.
Sure, good morning, except, just because the extreme cold alert has been lifted, that means it's gradually getting warmer. It doesn't go from extremely cold to, temperate right away, right?
No, it's minus 27 right now. Yeah, it's minus 27.
That's not enough.
Okay.
I am soft. Okay. That's right. People can tell me that I'm soft, and that's okay. I am soft when it comes to the cold, yes. I'll have to wait till my next trip to do that.
All right, sounds good. Let's get to topic du jour here in Ottawa, which, dating back to Tuesday's game, we haven't talked to you since then. The suspension has come in on Aaron Dell. So we'll get your thoughts on the play now that you've had some time to think about it and the three-game suspension from Aaron Dell. Do you think the suspension, I guess, to start with, is appropriate?
I think so. I mean, there's just not much precedence for these kind of things, right? I can't remember the last time a goalie was suspended for an interference, something like this. Just doesn't happen very often, so there's not a lot to go on. The actual collision was not super violent. It was more the situation that made it so dangerous. And then, of course, the outcome factored into it as well. If Drake had just fallen in with his shoulder, I don't know if Aaron Dell gets suspended. The injury really forces the attention and the suspension. So, I thought two or three games would probably be what it is. I don't know if that's fair or not. It doesn't mean anything to Ottawa, and that's the frustrating part, right? Having Aaron Dell not play for Buffalo doesn't help Ottawa at all. And having Drake Batherson still be hurt is not help. Nothing changes for the stuff that frustrates Ottawa by the suspension. But it's around okay. There's just not a lot of precedence for it. And my thoughts on the event are the same as when I called the game. It is such a garbage move. And apparently, without knowing the history of Aaron Dell, we remember the national one. But when you dig throughout his files, he's got several kind of run-ins where he likes to step into guys, and maybe he's fiery that way, but players are not expecting that. And so it's so cheap and violates a very important agreement that players and goaltenders have. The players acknowledge when the goalie steps out of the net, I'm not going to hit you, even though you might have the puck, even though I could, and you're going to stay safe. And we are going to expect you to not hit us because we're going to be not prepared for it. And we're going to be doing our best to avoid you. That's an important part of playing hockey. If that went away, it would be mayhem out there. And he wants to start taking little shoves at guys. Well, you know, the alternative is next time I don't try to get out of your way. And guess what, Arendelle? You're going to be hurt in the span of 30 minutes. You get run over five times. So, like, nobody wants to see that happen. It was very, very frustrating. I'm so disappointed for Drake Batherson for an opportunity lost to go to the All-Star game. He may never get the chance to do that again. Yes, he'll always be an All-Star, but to go and be around that environment is a really cool thing for a young player. So still uber frustrated by the whole situation. And I'm curious to hear Arendelle talk. Like, I want to hear what he has to say. And I hope it's not just some, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Like, because you did mean it. You did do it. Like, why are you always doing that? And should you then be allowed to be hit? Because you want to start throwing shoulders at guys, as you have several times in your career. Guys have to be able to protect themselves, which means throwing shoulders at you. Are you okay with that? I don't think so. I almost get frustrated talking about it because there's not a lot you can do about it. I mean, I guess you could have run Arendelle during the game and forced him to fight. I don't know. But like, that doesn't really happen, and I don't know if that's really any good idea. So it just leaves you kind of frustrated because your Ottawa comes out the short end of it no matter what happens now.
MJ, to that, up to me, Ottawa's built kind of a junior mentality hockey team in the sense of they want some toughness around it. Did you like the response from the Sens?
Well, I mean, I thought they played well in that sense. Like, I think people are like, you know, should they run them? Should they fight someone? Should they grab Dahlin if you can't grab Dell? Like those are the alternatives that you would immediately come to mind, at least come to my mind, if you want to respond physically. Do you want to start a line brawl and have Matt Murray go down there and fight him? I don't know if any of those are really good solutions. Yes, it would solve the initial thirst for vengeance, but, you know, they went in, they talked to him, they shoved him, they gave him a little slash, but he wasn't really willing to let it escalate. He very always kind of skated away. He never took a little shove at anybody else. So, you know, I don't know what else. I mean, you saw what Colorado tried to do last night with Taylor Hall. You go down that road and take penalties the whole game, and maybe they should have, but I guess I'm okay with it. There's not a lot you could do. Like, what are you going to ask Austin Watson to do? Run him where he gets suspended, or drop the gloves and punch him in the face and tear his mask off? Like, I don't know if those, any of those are really would really accomplish very much.
Yeah, I see. And again, I take the opposite tact. I really like Colorado's response last night, and especially in a meaningful hockey game, they rallied to win. Like,
but that was a positional player, Simmer.
Oh,
I know. Like they're going after it. It's a little bit like this.
Oh,
little,
for sure,
there's
for sure.
Yeah. Where you can go after Arendelle, right?
Yeah,
like that's the difference.
No. I totally agree. But even Josh Brown in coming in from the point and saying something, if somebody drops the gloves, I'm not expecting old school run the goalie. I just thought that it just all of a sudden, where I watched yesterday, you hit my star player, and it was actually a clean hit.
I just
loved Eric Johnson just giving, like, if you're Josh Brown, that's why you're on the ice. I don't mean to signal him out, but anybody, okay, well, why don't you just go cross-check a couple of the guys? Not for suspension, but Johnson was just giving it to him last night, and I would think that the Avs and McKinnon just love the fact that they pushed back like that.
Right, but Eric Johnson wasn't going after David Pastrnak.
No. I understand. Yeah,
but when he got hauled down,
he was saying, "Hey, this isn't just a normal cross check. I'm showing you right
100%.
Here. I didn't like what happened."
Absolutely, but where is Josh Brown supposed to go? Who's he supposed to go after?
Oh, anybody. But I'd actually, on an offensive zone faceoff, I'd cruise towards a goaltender, and I'm not going to do anything, but I'd show a little emotion. To me, emotion and not even doing anything, MJ, shows so much in the game. Like, they being emotionally engaged, like, I'm pissed this happened, versus one guy gives one whack in the first period, one guy's talk. I'd be doing this a whole game. These are two bad teams in the late January. There's lots you could do.
Yeah, I suppose, but I mean, there was about four scrums around the net. Watson gave him a little tap. Brady Tkachuk tossed him a couple of times. Like, they got around him. I guess, you know, they could have escalated it more. They could have had it done more frequently. They did it a little bit to let them know that they weren't happy, and they weren't happy. I actually bumped into some of the guys on the way out of the rink after the game, and they were livid. Like, they were very upset. So it's not like they did not have an emotional reaction to what had happened. You know, I guess you would like to see it a little bit more. And had it been a positional player, 100% forced to do something differently.
Yeah.
But because it's a goalie, it just makes it a little bit more challenging. Yeah. Now, to go old school, and I've heard it on the bench, like, you go after Gretzky, I'm not going, like, we're not coming after you, we're going after your star, right? So, like, I can't get to Arendelle, so sorry, Rasmus Dahlin. Mm-hmm. Your night just got absolutely miserable. And I'm going to tell you, every time I grab you after a whistle, this is because of your goalie. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at your goalie. And, like, those kind of conversations would absolutely happen during a game. They gave it kind of the not a token effort, but they did it in a way that they could without going overboard. They could have done it more, but I guess I'm okay with how they reacted.
Yeah. Do you think that the message to not go overboard would have come at some point during the game from DJ Smith on the bench? Like, don't do anything stupid? Because if we look at DJ Smith and the way that he likes to build his team, he likes the toughness. And as Simmer, you know, there's a this is not a criticism, but a kind of a junior hockey mentality. He comes from a junior hockey background. What do you think the messaging, if any, would have been from him to his team at that time?
Yeah. I think he probably would have said, don't do anything stupid and leave it at that. He probably wouldn't play with DJ. He wouldn't mind a response. He wouldn't mind a fight. He wouldn't mind, any of those kind of things, some scrums, some conversations. But he doesn't want one of his best players to go out there and get suspended or do something that would escalate it that much more. They're probably like, all right, let's focus on playing. If you get around them, get around them. But other than that, and coaches also have to be very, very careful right. about what they say when it comes to these kind of situations. Like if he would have just gone in there and said, listen, someone's got to take care of this. And then it gets out that he said it, like there's a whole host of issues that are not good for anyone. So coaches need to be aware of that as well. Guys were understandably emotionally upset about what had happened, and even to the point after the game they were still upset about what had happened, so I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, and the coach's thing goes back to Bertuzzi, Moore, and Mark Crawford, of course. Mm-hmm. And MJ to that, and just quite simply, and then we'll leave it alone, do you think when DJ Smith woke up the next day that he was pleased with the response of his team? And I know this is purely speculation, but you know him
well. I think he was okay with it. How the game goes right now, Simmer. It's just like there's not a lot of options for what you can do. So I think he was okay with it. They played well, which I think you'd be happy. Like they kind of rallied, played well, stuck with the game plan. Had a very dominant win. They addressed it to the degree that they could, and they'll move along without a really important player. I think he's okay with it, given the reality of where hockey is right now, and that they couldn't do things. They won't do things that they might have done in years, decades past.
All right. Well, you're moving from a Lada in the Buffalo Sabres to a Ferrari in the Carolina Hurricanes in town tonight. It'd be a totally different game. A couple of things. First of all, let's start with just your thoughts on Carolina. Points percentage-wise, second in the league, only behind Colorado. Everybody is of the opinion that absolutely a Stanley Cup contender. As you look at the team, are there, if any, weaknesses on the Carolina Hurricanes?
There's not really any. to be honest, the weakness, if you're going to say, can they win a Stanley Cup, is do you trust their goaltending in the playoffs? I do. I think Freddie Anderson's really good. He's one of the best statistical goalies in the league this year because he plays for the best defensive team in the league. Obviously he's had his struggles with the Leafs, but beyond that, like, you're not going to go get a third goalie. They have two really good goalies that are putting up a ton of wins. They got all kinds of offense. They got great depth. They have, mobile defensemen that play exactly the way that Rod Brind'Amour wants them to play. They got a third pairing of Smith and Cole that bring a little jam and some experience. There's not a lot not to like. If I can be hyper, like, maybe the experience of their goaltender and the fact that Jordan Staal had a good year offensively last year. I think he only has two goals this year. So his offense has kind of fallen off the map. So, depth offense down the lineup, if that's their third line centerman, you're not getting a lot from him. Now you have Aho and Trocheck, and you also have Kotkaniemi, who's a fourth line centerman. I think he has 9 goals. But, we're nitpicking because they are absolutely a Stanley Cup favorite, and they are loaded. There's not much wrong with that team.
In the case of Freddie Anderson, MJ, is it just getting that first round under your belt and kind of get off and running?
I think it's the same for him and the Leafs, right? Just they got to get over the hump. Now, you don't get over the hump until you get over the hump. You have to get there. I think once you win a series, then that conversation would go away. I think Freddie's a good goalie. I think he's a really good goalie, and I believe that he won't be the issue that they don't win. So, I think get that first round win and then he's off and running would be a sensible approach to it.
You brought up Kotkaniemi, who's got 9 goals and 19 points in 39 games. At the time they signed him to that offer sheet that Montreal didn't end up matching and gave up the first round pick, they said, this has nothing to do with all this stuff with Aho and everything. We just really like the player. That's the reason we're giving him $6 million. Do you think that, halfway through this season now, that would they consider that to be $6 million well invested, both in terms of now and, of course, if they do go on to re-sign him to a longer-term contract?
Right. So I think the second part of that statement is what will make this make sense or not. Now, if he starts just signing qualifying offers at 6 and 6-6, then probably not. But somehow I think he signs an extension for, 6 years and $30 million, less than even $6 million. And so now you're like, okay, a second, third line guy, will get you 20, 25 goals and 50, 55 points and be a reliable two-way guy. If he makes $5 million, that's not out of the question. And I think what you're going to see, as I just mentioned, Jordan Staal's offense has dried up and Vinny Trocheck's at UFA. So they need a second line center next year. So while this year he's bounced around and played on the wing and he's played in the fourth line and you're like, well, that's a lot of money for that spot on the roster. He's not going to be that next year. He's going to be their second line centerman. And the fact of the matter is he's going to score maybe almost 20 goals in this utility role. That sounds like not a bad return, especially if they get a longer-term contract side with him that is less than the $6 million, which they could absolutely do kind of as of right now. So we'll have to wait and see on the contract, but I think it's a longer-term play than just this year.
MJ, we're going to go to the Olympics, and you always look sharp. You're going to be presenting the medals. So on the podium here, we've got a trifecta of teams. Who gets bronze, silver, and gold between Arizona, Montreal, and Carolina as Mr. Dvorak, a first-round pick, and Mr. Kotkaniemi?
Oh, boy. So who won that one? I guess I would say... I guess Arizona probably gets the gold because
there's nobody to go on the podium for that. Well,
no,
Bill Armstrong.
That's right. There's a Freddie Charles, Mr. Future consideration, because I think the unknown commodity and that pick might be pretty good could be the player of all this because Kotkaniemi, they're good players, but the contracts make them differently. I'd say Arizona gold, Carolina silver, and unfortunately for Montreal, Christian Dvorak has not had a great year, hasn't had the impact they were hoping for. He's been off for a boatload of goals against, and hasn't gone as well as they wanted. So that's how I would rank it if I had to.
There may or may not be a debate for DJ Smith tonight in terms of who his goalie should be. You would think Matt Murray coming off a shutout, and he's played well in his last four starts. They're trying to get him up and running. That would be a natural choice, but I kind of went through it, and the last time Ottawa played Carolina was the night after they bottomed out against Vancouver. It was an absolute just terrible game, and they went to Carolina the next night, and you're thinking they're going to get bombed in this game. And Forsberg went in and made 47 saves, and they won 3-2. And since then, including that game, they're 9-5-2. That really got them kickstarted. So in any way, should it be a debate in his mind as to who plays net tonight for the Sens?
Yep. I almost always just defer to the starter, right? And Matt Murray's playing well enough, he's the starter, make him go. But for all the reasons you mentioned, and I was there in Ottawa, or I was there in Carolina for that game, and I'm like, I don't know, this feels like a 5 or 6-1 game for Carolina. Like, it feels like it's gonna be, could be a tough night. And Forsberg just would not let it happen. 47 of 49 on the night. And Forsberg's playing really well right now. So I wonder listen, it's going to be a tough game. Carolina's really, really good. No matter how well you play, you're likely to lose this game. So I wonder almost to protect the good vibes of Matt Murray. And I would never say this out loud. I'd never say this to the goaltenders. But in the coach's office, I might have this conversation. And maybe Simber can chime in. But, Murray's going well. He's playing a team that things can get very difficult against. So why don't we put Anton in there? He's been good against this team. He's also playing well. He can take this on and maybe he plays great or maybe he takes it on the chin a little bit. But our starter still kind of out of the fray. I don't, I could see that may be making sense.
No, I agree. It's a fun debate, MJ, but I guess based on a bit of the tough love, and it felt like, in my estimation, they had run out of track, isn't this exactly what you're asking Matt Murray to challenge and do tonight? Because I thought next level in Washington the other night, his aggression, his style, I was so excited. I'm like, oh, man, isn't this exactly what you want to put him in for, is to see what he's like against one of the best?
Yes. But I'm also aware that it's not gone great, right? Like, sure, and if you had full faith in what's going on, you're like, okay, yeah, we'll just put him in there, let him roll, let him steal a game, because we love what he's doing. And I think, but I would be more concerned about the slow build, let's get him back, because he's looked really good. He was very clean. I know it was a very lopsided game against Buffalo, but he was sharp in that game.
Yeah, very much.
And so I'm just like, let's just build him up slowly. Let's not rush this. And Carolina's done it to a lot of goalies who have played better than Matt Murray this year and put up a 5 or 6 spot on them. So I would probably take the long view and just go the other way. But you could convince me either one, but I would not try to force this on them and say, listen, we weren't happy with you. You got to earn our trust back. Here you go. It's a monster game. It's going to be really difficult. We don't have any right wingers that can play right now, but let's go. I think I'd say no. Anton's a pretty good backup, and let's let him have this one. Mm.
I want to hit on a couple more things with you quickly. Calgary just all over Columbus last night, 62 shots. Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk right now are just completely rocking. Gaudreau's up to now sixth in NHL scoring with 51 points. He's also a UFA at the end of this year. How do you think this works out? What does Calgary do? I'm thinking they want to sign him to an extension, but you also don't want to lose him for nothing. Like, how do you think that whole Gaudreau and Calgary thing is gonna work itself out?
Well, they're not going to trade him before the season ends. Even because they want to make the playoffs. So if he has to walk as a UFA, then they'll let him. So that will be the case, and they'll take advantage of the money. But he's going to put up 90 points, right? Maybe more. He's already had, I think, a 99-point season. That sounds to me like a $9 million contract. He's 29 years old. Do you want to give him 7 or 8 years at $9 million? That's a tough contract to go for at that age. So that will probably be the question. If he wants money, he probably heads. And we've heard about him for so long. He wants to get back east. He wants to get back to Jersey, Philly, Island. He wants to get back up around where he grew up, which I totally get. I played in my hometown. I totally get it. And if he wants the most amount of money, he might have to go there. Because if he stays in Calgary, I don't know if he gets the term that he would desire. So that's a tough decision for Calgary, but he's playing so well. I don't know how you don't do everything you can to get him to come back, but it's him and Matthew Tkachuk is an RFA. Like, they're a package deal. And Matthew, I think, has one more year before he's a UFA, right? So he's got to get qualified at like $8 million or something.
Nine million.
And then, $9 million. Thank you. And then he can walk to a UFA. So you got to put a $72 million contract in front of him and a matching, $72 million contract in front of Johnny Gaudreau. That's tough. That's a lot.
Yeah. Are you all, if you're Brad Tree Living then in Calgary, you look at it and go, you seemingly having a really good year. Daryl Sutter's got that team really playing well. The West is not as stacked as the East. You maybe look at it and go, you know what? Maybe I go all in this year then.
You got it. That is exactly what I do. And look for Mark Giordano to return to Calgary. That's my call early. You heard it here first.
All right. There we go. Appreciate it as always. Look forward to your call tonight on TV and appreciate the insight this week and look forward to chatting with you again next week.
All right. I promise I will step outside at some point today.
Okay. Sounds good. See you, Mike. Right. 8:42 here on a Thursday morning. Ascents game day Thursday morning with J.R. Simmer and Hammer. Did I just read that Elton John contracted COVID? Had to cancel a bunch of future dates.
Oh, yeah?
And he had just got back to touring, I think. Okay. He's been on hiatus probably because of COVID, just in terms of no shows allowed for the last little bit. So, yeah, I just saw that.
Well, the weird one was the Adele Vegas show being canceled, the day before, when everybody had already gone to Vegas and paid a gazillion dollars and for some reason not able to perform. That was as much as I saw.
She was doing one show there, or she's done the thing where she hunkers down
for 6 months? I believe she's hunkering down, and what's her name? Yeah. Anyways, Celine Dion also canceled her world tour. But who's been the most recent in Vegas?
Britney?
No, God, no.
Well, that got canceled right away.
Mm.
Who's the most popular female singer on the planet right now?
Celine Dion.
Katy Perry. Yeah.
Katy Perry.
Oh, Katy Perry.
Yeah, she's been doing the Vegas thing.
Is she really the most popular singer?
I don't think she is anymore. She was five years ago.
But she
got a new single out right now.
Oh, okay.
She debuted on a sports broadcast on the halftime show, and I can't remember
really?
What it was. Yes.
Did she really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like the Fox Thursday night game.
Okay.
For some reason, that seemed to be an appropriate place to. Hey, okay. Coming up. Yeah. We're not not that I really care about them breaking down.
Is that the audience that Katy Perry is going after? The non-Super Bowl halftime show audience just a Thursday nighter?
That might have also been the same time they decided to have the comedian there as the third man in the booth. That didn't work
Dennis
out very
Miller.
Well. Hey?
That Dennis
was,
Miller.
Dennis
Miller
way back
when.
That was a big old train wreck. Hey?
Nor did Tony Kornheiser, though.
No, that didn't work either.
No. I like him on the show that he does with
PTI,
Wilbon,
him and Wilbon are great. And unfortunately for Tony, he no matter how positive he tries to sound, unfortunately, visually and oddly, there's just a bit of a black cloud. But very nice man.
He just reminds me of Larry David.
I think they're the same person.
Okay, yeah. Very, very caustic, sarcastic.
Well, that's crazy that you say that because Jason Alexander, who of course played George, which is a character that kind of is Larry David.
Uh-huh.
Alexander played Tony Kornheiser in the sitcom that was about Tony Kornheiser and his partner there, who was played by Theo from The Cosby Show.
Oh, wow.
Malcolm.
There was a sitcom for PTI?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean a skit on SNL?
No. It
really?
Was a straight-up sitcom.
On Wilbon and Kornheiser?
Yeah. Wow. More on Kornheiser. I don't think they called him Tony Kornheiser, but he was a creator of it. And it didn't work. I think it was maybe a season and a half, but Jason Alexander played the role of Tony
As Simmer
Kornheiser.
Said, it probably would have been better as one one-off SNL skit.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. Okay, welcome back. 8:45. When we were talking about the Fox, just bringing them up as a halftime show, how short do you think that Jay Glazer is? Like, do you think he's hammer short? Like, every time they show him kind of as you said, Simmer, showing them standing up, they've got that fake football field they stand on, right? And it's Bradshaw and Howie Long and Strahan, and sometimes Jimmy Johnson is there, and it's Kurt Menefee, right, on the Fox one? Yeah, and old
Jay. Shifter going old tippy-toes?
Yeah. Well, he doesn't go Versace tippy-toes.
No,
he probably could.
But he's got the big barrel, and then the Menefee guy, I think they use curtains from a hotel to make his suit. Like, he's as round as he is tall. And then the Glazer fella's got the lift shoes on. Oh, he's a 5'6" or 5'5".
Well, I don't even know if he's that tall. Anyway, he's got good info, and he's a good guy. And he's really become an advocate for mental health. Got to say, Howie Long, though, still cuts a fine figure for a guy who's 60 now.
Oh, he hasn't aged at all.
All kinds of time for him. I have never liked Michael Strahan. I do not understand.
Yeah.
He's on Good Morning. He hosts Good Morning America. I know he's smooth and all that.
Yeah.
I never find anything he says on the football part to be at all interesting.
Well, and he doesn't have any time to be a football announcer now. Like, it's like, absolutely, give me my $1 million and I'll talk for about 10 seconds. I agree. But I guess you'd ask that across the board, though, JR. I love the, and it's not a halftime, or well, the pregame, like the Brewski, Randy Moss, and Rex Ryan is placed perfectly with that. And Hasselbeck, I love the information and the discussion. When you go back and forth, and Esiason is way better than Phil Sims, but the time they go to Bill Cowher, he mumbles a few things.
Yeah.
like, come on, and no disrespect to Tony Dungy, but he's terrible.
No, I think he says smart things. He just doesn't, he can't deliver them that well.
But it was better when Harrison was on there instead of Sims, though, right?
I don't know why they got rid of Rodney Harrison.
Where'd Rodney go?
He's sort of doing he now goes to the stadium with Chris Collinsworth's son.
Oh, okay.
And they do kind of a hit from the stadium. It kind of felt like he got demoted a little bit.
Like on TikTok or something?
Yeah.
I don't know what the kind of future, what they want to do, but I always watch Brewski now and think, God, he'd be so great in-game, but probably guys that are happy.
Are you in Mapats?
Yeah.
No, you played for Mapats.
Don't you think he's tremendous?
He's okay. I don't watch a lot of them, Simmer. I'll be quite honest with you. And I've, the halftime shows, which we now, because there's not another game you can flip to, right? We're only getting one game at a time. So you're kind of, if you care to.
There's no more highlight packages.
No, you're kind of forced to watch them. And first of all, can we just stop with the coming up halftime and then they go to the studio shot? And especially the CBS guys are the worst. They're having the time. Somebody's just told the funniest joke ever. We're laughing.
They're all buddies.
Oh, my God.
They're friends. They get along.
You ever notice that Phil Sims is the only guy, and I don't like Phil Sims in terms of his analysis, he's the only guy that never plays along with the fake laughing?
Because
everybody else is rolling like, oh, my God, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard, guys.
Does anybody talk to Phil Simms? Does anybody like Phil Simms?
Well, Boomer, him and Boomer are buddies, or at least Boomer feels for him. But Phil Simms, I have not seen a look in that much makeup since I saw Lennon's Tomb. Like, that's what it reminds
wow,
me of.
Wow, a rare Lennon's Tomb reference.
That's what it reminds me of when I see him. You're like, come on, man. Like, you gotta come. Your face and your hair shouldn't match in color.
Oh, right? Dear. Anyway, all right, we've got both of the games, conference championships for you coming up on Sunday. Cincy-KC, that's the 3 o'clock game, and then 6:40 is the NFC championship game. Niners and Rams, will break it all down for you coming up tomorrow, but hopeful of a couple of very competitive games. Okay, back to the texting machine at 12-1200. Again, when you text us, standard messaging rates apply. Simmer, this goes back to the discussion, well, that we've had and that you had with MJ about the Sens response or lack thereof. Simmer, this is not the Wild West mentality of the 80s and 90s. A 5-0 response is what you want to see. What to do if another main player such as Norris or Shabbat gets hurt in a line brawl? I think they responded just fine. Next time, go to 6 goals. This guy's a third-rate goalie on a bad team and will never be much more.
Yeah, and it didn't mean anything, the 5-0. And again, this whole line brawl thing, I'm not talking about it and not talking about injuries, JR. As we've seen with Pinto and White and Stepan, hey, you can separate your shoulder, fall in on the ice without contact, anything can happen to you. All I'm saying is that a lot of what I like in my tough guys, and in the case I'm singling out Josh Brown, I like you to be engaged and involved and cruising around the net once in a while and challenging other players. I'm not expecting any more than that, but to think that the Buffalo Sabres could care less that they got waxed 5-0 with the spot that they're in, or that was like redemption, this isn't a playoff game. And as I said, I watched Colorado last night, and I watched Eric Johnson just giving it to Taylor Hall. Takes a penalty. They rally to win a hockey game. That's the response I want at the end of the day, that's all. So as I said, but then he thought that, wow, they stuck to it. And like I said, but the only answer, the only people that know, and when Mike Johnson mentioned the players are still furious after the game, I do wonder what was said in the dressing room after the game as to how the response is that, and only the players and coaches would know that.
Yeah, and if you're mad after the game, I'm presuming you were mad through the rest of the game as well, were you not? Gone away and then all of a sudden mad again. You would have been mad the entire time.
And I can guarantee, and again, I'll only say as Sean Simpson's opinion, DJ Smith isn't walking through the dress room and saying don't do anything stupid, because everybody knows now, JR, you don't do anything stupid because you don't want to lose your paycheck. I understand that. If I'm Josh Brown, I've just made the NHL, I'm not going and cross-checking the goalie in the face and getting suspended for 10 games. And at the same time, there's no way in late January you're also cruising and saying, don't take any penalties and let's make them pay on the scoreboard. Come on, man. People either are so out of touch with where hockey is at any time. But as I said, for the players to roll out of there like that, JR, I didn't feel that personally in the game. Now, there's no crowd, right? And I do think if there was a crowd there, would there be a bit of a different reaction? I just felt like, and I'll also go back to Timmy Stutzla getting bumped around last year. Skilled players, whether they say it or not, love the reaction. MacKinnon would love the fact of what his teammates did yesterday. Landeskog, who's a good hockey player, not afraid to drop the gloves, cruising around on Taylor Hall. The fact that Eric Johnson's cross-checking him. You don't think MacKinnon felt good about that? And any skilled player in the NHL, the reason you address anybody and the reason Ottawa said they want it is you feel good about it. And last year, Stutzla got bumped around by Montreal. There was no real reaction. And in this case on Batherson, it's a goaltender. But I still think there could have been more pushback.
Chris Neal would have destroyed Dell. Missed that guy. That comes from Matt from Unsigned. Come on, Simmer. Tell the team and Matt Murray with a shutout that a 5-0 win means nothing. Comes from Unsigned.
Yeah, I just told you. Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, what does it mean? You had Tyler Ennis had a hat trick. Who's going to remember that a year from now? Now, for Matt Murray, building on and why I'd play him tonight, JR, but as to any idea that, well, that lets it go on the Batherson injury, I'm assuming you've never played or been around the sport. That's a ridiculous take.
Daryl writes, there's zero reason to go ballistic on Dell while they were winning. If they were losing, things would have been different, I'm sure. But you can't assume the Sens have given up on the season as much as not to take a blowout win in this case. Next game, we'll see. That's from Daryl. And, of course, Sens and Sabres will meet again in mid-February.
Yeah, and my point on that is that I disagree with that as well. And if there is a pushback in February when there wasn't late in January against the Buffalo Sabres, and even if the game had come back where Buffalo rallied to win, but I pushed back against the player, still in team building to me, JR, be more important. And I'd be semi-embarrassed if they go in on February 17th and start pushing the Buffalo Sabres around at that point. That tells me that somebody's told them they didn't like the response that they had.
Guys, just saw the Dell play. Given the play and the obvious injury at the time, I know what I would have done. I would have run the goalie or driven him through the boards when he's out playing the puck. In the words of Mel Gibson in the movie Payback, with respect to vengeance not working, quote, it works for me, end quote. Yeah. Don't care that it's not how things work in today's NHL. That's from Unsigned.
Yeah, and I know the other discussion. I don't expect that, JR, because I understand. That is when a line brawl happens. That's when a Matt Murray, you know, and I don't want that. And I also, people are saying, you know, when the goalie's out or did Dell give up his ability, you know, I don't expect anybody to run him. There's going to be a suspension. There'll be a line brawl. And for anyone out playing the puck, I never expect that because, you know, as we said, goalies, you know, all the time don't do this.
Mm.
This has been a very bizarre behavior by Mr. Dell, and I'm assuming that's the last time he'll do something like that.
To the big soccer game tonight, Canada-Honduras. And we're talking about, we had Julian de Guzman on, former Canadian national team player. Who has played for Canada in Honduras and has gone through the challenges, including, as he described, you know, team bus to from the airport to the hotel to stadium. You've got guys with machine guns to keep you safe, apparently. Also, while you're playing the game, watch out for urine bombs being thrown onto the field, to which I went on and said, yeah, don't know a lot of people, Canadians, that would, let's say, hey, where are you going this winter? Get south. I'm going to Honduras.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, as with everything, I stand corrected. Roatan is a huge diving destination. Oh, that's okay, in Honduras. Okay. Let's see here. Greg writes, the only good thing about Honduras is the cigars.
Okay.
That's from Greg. And someone else weighing in on Roatan. Beautiful and awesome. So there we go. I think I've seen one of those HGTV, hey, we're going from some cold place, we're moving. I've seen that Roatan before. I didn't know it was in Honduras, actually, and it was somewhere in Central America. So I stand corrected that maybe Roatan is a go-to Honduran destination, not Tegucigalpa.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to hear a little of that background and the urine part. And people were also making comments about the Panda game.
Yes.
That used to be the big thing now. Yeah.
Somebody wanting to schedule a Canada-Honduras exhibition match at halftime of the Panda game to get the urine bombs
and confirming urine, I mean, makes you suspicious whether or not you've either drank your own or somebody else's at some point. But I guess enough of a smell test at that point to recognize.
Are they really patting you down though? If you're thinking urine bomb, if you're a good Honduran soccer supporter, and you're thinking, gentlemen, the urine bombs are flying tonight, are you doing a are you doing a sort of a pre-bag, or are you bagging there? Like, because you don't.
You bag there. You go for the massive cerveza, and you have a balloon or whatever else in your thing.
Okay.
And then you go in. Oh, you just fill that right up.
A balloon in your pocket.
Yeah, you're going for one of those like big size gulps, like they sell for
a big gulp
at 7-Eleven, and you just fill it right up.
Okay. Are you producing enough pressure to expand that balloon? Because there could be, some spillage. Right.
And how do you pee? How do you, if you're going to go directly, let's think about this. We've all tried to blow in a balloon. We've all tried to tie a balloon. I struggle with tying balloons back to my kids, right? Mm-hmm. So those clowns that can do the little things and make dogs out of them, that's an art. Anyway, all that to say, it's like when you pull the whole opening of a balloon, it doesn't go very wide.
No.
So to your point of somebody's got to hold the corners of it, and then the person producing the urine is,
I'm thinking you're not going balloon now. I think you're going.
It's the same thing as when you're trying to get all of, back to the windshield washer fluid, right? Yeah. There's nobody, unless you use a funnel, as you're pouring it in there, you don't get all of it in, right? There's spillage. And I'm thinking it's the same thing creating your urine balloon.
Depending on it, I don't know the natural size of the Honduras men, but could you put the balloon just over the head?
To stretch it out?
You're gonna—that's some blood flow right there.
But to so you don't have any spillage. But I also, I assume that if
Simmer.
What?
I wasn't thinking that. Okay.
Okay, but I also assume that the person that's trying to fill the balloon, they don't really care if they pee all over themselves a little bit.
No,
right?
You're probably You're not in the right.
Yeah, you're in a state where you don't care.
Yeah. Like, you probably went to sleep and done worse to yourself.
Aaron has suggested that you also include a little asparagus in your diet ahead of time.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
That's color and aroma.
That's true.
That is for sure.
Yeah.
Right?
That is smart.
Yeah, and there's a few Carleton and Ottawa and you Ottawa engineering students that could probably set us right what the perfect blend is.
Yeah, and not that they're doing it on purpose, though, but one of the quality parts about urine with asparagus, it actually keeps the black flies away.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's personal history.
Well,
yeah.
And malaria is obviously a very big thing in Central America. So, you know.
Someone is saying you're not doing balloons, you're doing a Ziploc bag.
Called us fools for not going.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. You had a good, strong Ziploc bag. But the only problem with that is
I want an explosion, not impact.
Yeah, what about just a mighty fine Trojan?
Yeah, that's true. But my Ziploc bag, I'm throwing urine with it, isn't it? If it just bounces off the guy, I just wasted all my urine.
Defeats the purpose.
Hey? Yeah. I mean, no, I hate
that. So you go, how about this? You go cheap Ziploc bag.
Because
they're made where the snappy part across the top is sometimes not as strong.
Okay.
Like if you go with a good Glad as opposed to the
yellow and blue don't make green.
Yeah.
You want just the clear strips.
Exactly.
The cheapos.
Also, I feel like now I don't know what the security's like in Honduras, but I also feel like if I'm with my buddies, you'd have more of like a balloon party in the bathroom. Like I'd want to come rolling out of there with like a bag full of like 20, right? Wouldn't you?
Yeah, large arsenal.
Yeah, I don't want just a singular urine balloon, hey?
You're gathering, is everybody, you know, you're all getting together like before the game in a certain parking lot?
And you're chucking like them this all is, at the
no,
same
no,
time.
No, you've got to do it inside. So even, and this is what I'd say because I don't think they really care, if you're in the trough, why don't you just go down at the bottom of the trough?
Oh, okay, now we're getting, now you've taken it too far.
No
okay. We are having some fun. And now you've taken, you know, people are eating and getting all kinds of reaction. Fellas.
I'm just thinking of you at your Eagles game.
Yeah, first of all, it's a new stadium.
Okay.
The last trough that I peed in was at McGill Stadium.
Oh,
in
it's McGill. Okay.
And that was quite a while ago. Yeah. And again, as I've always told you, you do have to pee, and it's a trough situation. Yeah. Be at the top of the trough.
For sure.
Okay.
For
you
sure.
don't want to see anything else running by your feet.
Yeah.
Okay. Just past 9 o'clock. We'll take a break, get things back on the rails. Top of the hour news and sports update is next. We'll come back. We'll get you set for what will be a pretty exciting sports day ahead from a lot of different perspectives. Latest on Sens and Canes, latest on the Dell suspension. I'm assuming we're going to hear at some point, probably this morning, the extent of Drake Batherson's injury, but we're pretty sure it's pretty significant. Already Brady Tkachuk named to replace him at the All-Star game. So we'll go through all of that with you, get you set for the big soccer match tonight, Canada-Honduras World Cup qualifier, and, of course, the football playoffs coming up. I wanted to touch on this. Been out there for a couple of days. This new thing that the Frontier League, which is the league the Ottawa Titans, the new baseball team, is going to play in this year, they're experimenting with something that Major League Baseball may look at as far as breaking ties. So we don't have extra inning games that go on and on and on and on. So pretty interesting thing that they're going to try out. So we'll get into all of that. We'll have our $100 gift certificate to Gabriel Pizza to give away as part of our big game contest. Your cue to text. Let's do that right now to lucky texter number 65 for Eric Carlson. Apropos of nothing. Text us your first and last name at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. Texter number 65 gets $100 to spend in nice quality Gabriel Pizza. All right, we'll come back with much more. Hour 4 is on the way on this Sens game day, Thursday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.